You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Monday. I'm Maggie Dawn, your host for the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hope you all are doing well. I got a fine guest with me for the entire program. You know him well. His name's Matt Rothschild. He's the host of Wisconsin Forward that you can find at civicmedia.us and wherever you find your favorite podcasts, like on Spotify and Apple Pods. Welcome back to the show, Matt. Great to have you.
Well, it's great to be with you, Maggie, as always. Looking forward to the show today.
Yes, great to be back together with you. Thank you, Matt, for guest hosting while I was on vacation. Big thanks to Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m., who sat in for me, John and Gordy, and everybody here in the Civic Media family who helped me take a little time away from what is and apparently will be for the foreseeable future an absolutely insane amount of news that happens every day. Today, no exception. Matt and I are going to have an in-depth conversation with each and every one of you about Donald Trump priming the pump for an actual potentially military-style backed coup. What is the National Guard doing in Washington, D.C.? We're going to discuss all that first here on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. And of course, we will get to at 4:30 the devastating flooding, especially in the city of Milwaukee, but across southeastern Wisconsin. We got two great guests joining us. Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky joins us at 4:30 to discuss emergency response during flooding events. And then immediately after Chief Lipsky, we'll be joined by Milwaukee County's Director of Emergency Management, Cassandra Liebel. We'll discuss with Director Liebel the second phase, the recovery phase after that initial emergency response, and give you folks some resources if you have sustained damage to your business or residence, a number that you can call to report that in. Finally, in the 5 o'clock hour, we will ask you about your individual flooding circumstances. Did your home flood? Has it flooded before? Were you able to get insurance after a flooding event? We're going to want to hear from you at 5 o'clock. We'll, of course, then get to the ongoing Epstein scandal. It just ain't going anywhere. And J.D. Vance giving a somewhat disturbing interview this weekend. We've got some sound from that. You're not going to want to miss that discussion. And to close it all off, boy, despite the floods, it is something special here in Milwaukee. Those Milwaukee Brewers getting it done in spectacular fashion. 9 wins in a row, a walk-off home run by a new Brewer yesterday in what I think some people are calling it. Sure feeling like a miracle in Milwaukee. So you're going to want to stay tuned. We've got some sound of the game. We'll discuss that with Matt and each and every one of you. But Matt, let's get right into it. We've got Donald Trump this morning at a press conference and on Truth Social stating that he is deploying the National Guard in Washington, D.C., effectively federalizing the District of Columbia law enforcement. This coming on the heels of sending in without request the National Guard into L.A. Ironically, or perhaps not, today is the first day of a 3-day bench trial. That is the bench trial over Donald Trump's deployment of the National Guard in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, recall, 500 plus square miles of city. The protesters were in about less than 1 square mile. So keep that in mind. Matt, before we get to your impressions about this, let's listen to a bit of what the president had to say this morning about, I guess, his desire to just take over Washington, D.C. Let's take cut two.
This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control, and you'll be meeting the people that will be directly involved with that. Very good people, but they're tough, and they know what's happening, and they've done it before.
unlike Donald Trump, who has no grasp of what's actually happening, nor actual crime statistics. We'll get to those in just a moment. Let's hear what he had to say. Ominous language from the president about potentially federalizing the police all across this country. Is it coming to your hometown? Let's take a listen to cut three.
But then I'm going to look at New York in a little while. Let's do this. Let's do this together. Let's see. It's going to go pretty quickly. And if we need to, we're going to do the same thing in Chicago, which is a disaster. We have a mayor there who's totally incompetent. He's an incompetent man. And we have an incompetent governor there. Pritzker's an incompetent. His family threw him out of the business, and he ran for governor. And now I understand he wants to be president. But I noticed he lost a little weight, so maybe he has a chance. You know, you never know what happens. But Pritzker's a gross incompetent guy thrown out of the family business.
Fat jokes from our sitting president while he threatens the independence of Chicago and Illinois. It didn't stop there. Let's take cut six. Trump continued his threats to federalize law enforcement in other cities.
We have other cities that are very bad. New York has a problem. And then you have, of course, Baltimore and Oakland. We don't even mention that anymore. They're so far gone. We're not going to let it happen. We're not going to lose our cities over this. And this will go further. We're starting very strongly with D.C., and we're going to clean it up real quick, very quickly, as they say.
It's simply shocking. I have a lot of thoughts about this. I know all of you do. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Matt, what do you make of all of this?
Well, this is a creeping martial law is what it is. And, you know, our Declaration of Independence states that governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. There's no consent of the governed here. The mayor didn't ask for this. The city council didn't ask for this. This is Trump doing it with just a pretext. The facts don't matter. The facts that, you know, crime rates are down to 30-year lows, that doesn't matter to Trump. He picks an anecdote here and an anecdote there. And, you know, he's doing this to distract, of course, from the Epstein scandal. But there's more there than that, because he's always wanted to invoke the Insurrection Act and get the U.S. military into our streets. He got them into our streets in L.A. without invoking the Insurrection Act. But this is a dress rehearsal for nationwide martial law. And imagine what he'd do if there was an actual serious event here, a terrorist attack or something terrible. I mean, he would for sure get the military in there, but he's ready to do it with no rationale at all, no real rationale, just pretext. And so it's disgusting. And the scapegoating is disgusting. This is the same kind of rhetoric, the same kind of adjectives that he used going after immigrants. Now he's using it against folks in D.C. The racism is obvious because most people understand that D.C. Is a largely black community. I mean, Jesse Jackson used to call it Chocolate City. Other people have too. Trump doesn't have to use the words blacks because a lot of white ears are hearing it anyway. And black ears too, for that matter. They're not naive about what Trump is doing and how he's scapegoating people. So yeah, this is incredibly scary, outrageously undemocratic. And I think anyone who cherishes our tradition of democracy in this country should just be appalled.
And to put not too fine a point on it, I find the fat jokes aside and also ironic, but I find it at best ironic, at worst, rising to the level of lie and misdirection for the man who pardoned people who attacked DC Metro and Capitol police officers to now feign care about the security and safety in our nation's capital. And as early as late last night, this morning, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia still had their annual crime statistics report up on their website. So this is, you know, the Trump administration's U.S. Attorney's Office for the D.C. District. I guess they forgot to pull that down. I am literally reading from what was pulled from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia as of last night. This is based on a report that came out on January 3rd this year. Total violent crime for 2024 in D.C. is down 35% from 2023, and it is the lowest it has been in over 30 years.
Yep.
In addition to overall violent crime reduction, again, I'm literally reading this verbatim from the DOJ's own website. This was current as of 24 hours ago. Homicides are down 32% in D.C. Robberies down 39%. Armed carjackings down 53%. Assaults with a dangerous weapon are down 27%. All when compared to 2023 levels, with the district reporting the fewest assaults with dangerous weapons and burglaries in over 30 years. So Donald Trump is lying to the American public about the safety and security of Washington, D.C., and based upon that lie, supercharged with racist rhetoric, he is federalizing and seizing control of the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. I want people to think about what we are talking about here. The federal government seizing control of local law enforcement. Any conservative who has thrown out the phrase states' rights and local control, I'd like to hear your outrage. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We've got Jack from Merrimack on the air. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Good to see you on my caller list. Jack, say hi to Matt. What you got for us?
Hey, folks. So we have officially entered a police state. That's what this is. And I believe that Matt is right. I think this is a trial run to see what he can get away with. My final thought on this is beware of November 2026. I cannot imagine the possibility that anyone who backs this person and in our government could possibly be reelected by anyone with any common sense. This is a recipe for electoral disaster, what's going on, and I don't think that elections are going to be allowed in 2020. I really think that that's where this is headed.
Thanks so much, Jack, from Merrimack. This is scary on so many levels. I'm going to give you my take on Donald Trump seizing control of local law enforcement in Washington, D.C. based upon lies and racism. That's what our president did this morning. We're going to continue this great discussion on the other side with my special guest, Matt Rothschild, and each and every one of you. Are you concerned about what Trump might do with Milwaukee's law enforcement? Do you welcome it, perhaps? 855-752-4842, 855-CIVIC. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. What happens when Trump comes to your neighborhood? Next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Donald Trump seizing control of Washington, D.C.'s police department, federalizing the city, in other words, seizing local control, denying Washingtonians the right to have their elected officials direct the police department. What do you think about this? What if Donald Trump brings this sort of approach here to Wisconsin? What do you have to say? Don't we trust our local law enforcement? Shouldn't we allow them to do their jobs? And why is it okay for the president to literally make up mounds and piles of garbage lies about Washington, D.C. to create the appearance that the city is somehow out of control? It's not. According to Mr. Trump's own Department of Justice for the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Washington, D.C., crime rates at their lowest in 30 years. He's lying to people. He is racially charging all of his language. Why is this okay? What do you think about it? Let's discuss. 855-752-4842. We got Troy from Mount Horeb. Say hi to Matt. What you have to say?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Maggie.
So hey, Troy.
Earlier I heard a conservative say on January 6th, Trump offered Speaker Pelosi the National Guard, and she turned him down. Well, the locals don't even want the National Guard now, and he's forcing it on them. Why the difference? Why is this different from January 6th?
Troy, pointing out the complete inconsistencies, the lack of any organizing principle for any decision by Donald Trump. Yes, you put your finger right on it. By the way, that's not true about Nancy Pelosi. Donald Trump also tried to blame Washington, D.C.'s mayor Bowser, for not calling in the National Guard. That, too, was a lie. It's just lie upon lie upon lie. We've got so many of them. Lots of callers here, folks. Please, we beg of your patience. Jake from Milwaukee, please say hello to Matt. What you got for us?
To me, this is just him giving his supporters the red meat that they need. They hate urban areas. They hate cities. The Wisconsin Republicans, we know for sure well have scapegoated Milwaukee and Madison for ages, right? We are their enemy. So he's giving his supporters red meat from the enemies, which is us.
The sad thing about it, Jake, and Matt, I'll get your reaction as well, is that this takes taxpayer dollars. This takes funding National Guardsmen and women away from their core duties. So it costs in a lot of ways, and it is, again, in my opinion, an incredibly dangerous predicate, right? He started with LA. Oh, the excuse is alleged, property destruction, of which there was very little, done by very few, no request. They start that in LA. Now, again, no request, no actual problem. Just a Doge bro getting his butt kicked, which happened. But now the federalization of Washington, D.C. This is how fascism works. They get people's minds to slowly accept things that if he had come right out and done this in his first term, it would have never been accepted, even by Trump supporters back then. All that's now gone, and he's trying to move the window, as they say, Matt. That's what scares me. This is the predicate. He's priming the pump here.
Yeah, I think you put your finger right on it, Maggie. He's trying to inure the American public to the idea of having the military in our streets. What we're seeing in D.C. is repression without representation, and we're going to see it across the country. And I just got to make a prediction that this is going to end in tragedy. We are going to see National Guards person or a military member shoot and kill people in our streets. This is going to be like Kent State or Jackson State. And then what's going to happen? How are people going to respond to that? I can only imagine.
Yeah, it is a truly frightening time. Ron from Milwaukee, say hello to Matt. What's your comment, sir?
Hi, Matt. Hi, Maggie. The other thing is it's totally contradictory to what Republicans in general and MAGAs in particular profess to believe, namely that most government duties and functions ought to be maintained by states and lower levels of government, cities, and not the federal government. The federal government's too big and must be restrained. And they said, oh, wait, let's make a few exceptions here. The other thing I'd like to point out is that some guy, I think it was on Blue Sky, tweeted that he did a quick check and he said he was looking for people in D.C. who had a lot of criminal offenses. And he said the best he could discern is that the guy with the most, the biggest criminal record in D.C. is Donald Trump.
It's worthy of a chuckle. If it only were not true or possibly true, Ron, I feel you, friend. We got a ton of callers. Charles, we just got about a minute left. Make it quick, my friend. Go ahead,
hello,
Charles from Milwaukee.
Hello,
hi.
You know, he's throwing out red meat for his base that loves the racism. He's trying to distract from Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
And I would be all with him if he says, hey, I want to send the National Guard to Milwaukee, only if he turned himself in, because he's the biggest crook out there. How are you going to talk about other criminals when you're 34 count felon? Not only that, but you've been deemed a rapist and you're a pedophile.
Yeah. Charles, the allegations, both public and those well-documented, those litigated in court, are lengthy and legion. We're going to get to that no cash bail thing for folks accused of crime. Maybe on the other side, we're going to talk about the flooding in southeastern Wisconsin. We come back with Milwaukee Fire Department Chief Aaron Lipsky. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media Radio Network. Well, throughout southeastern Wisconsin and certainly here in Milwaukee, it has been a brutal weather weekend. Many people across the city experiencing extraordinary flooding. The Brewers, and we'll get to the Brewers and the miracle that's happening in Milwaukee later in this program, they kept the game going yesterday, but they had to shut down various entry points. In fact, all of Miller Parkway, that connection point on our expressway system, was flooded. I've been hearing from teachers and friends of mine across the city all day about flooding events, feet of water in basements, sump pumps, you know, blown water heaters and all the rest of it. To help us understand what happened this weekend, our emergency responses, and how to keep your family safe when we have these sorts of weather emergencies and other disasters, we've got my friend and now yours, Aaron Lipsky. Thanks so much for being here, Chief Lipsky. We really appreciate you. Thank you for everything you did for the city this weekend.
I really thank you for having me, and I really, really appreciate your focus on what can we do moving forward to keep everyone safe and help speed the recovery along?
Yes. So let's just start with the basics. What's the status this afternoon, Monday afternoon? Do we have full power restoration? Any residents or homes, areas of the city of Milwaukee that are still without power? You know, what was the status? How many deployments did you guys have to make? Were there rescues that had to be executed this past week? Tell us about where we are today and what MFD did for the citizens and residents this past weekend.
Yeah, for sure. So starting right towards the end of that Brewers game you referenced, rain that far outpaced the amounts anybody expected, and certainly the length of time and repetition of these storms that just hovered over all of southeastern Wisconsin. I don't want to say it caught us off guard, but we get very regular prompts from the National Weather Service, and we pay a lot of attention to those. We all knew it was going to rain. I don't think anybody knew it was going to rain that sustained for that long. But as soon as it happened, we kicked into gear with a whole bunch of stuff that probably doesn't seem too flashy or exciting, but we switch our entire mode of communicating and deployment because we know with these things it is going to be a numbers game. For instance, whereas somebody may just occasionally call 911 because they or somebody they observe is having an emergency, in these situations, we know an entire city block or neighborhood or neighborhoods are going to be impacted and are going to be calling.
Yes.
And so instead of the normal one-off model where we jog out and you know, go sort out the problem right away, one for one, we go to a task force model so that we group some of our resources together, and they become the sole responders for some of the non-life critical responses. And this keeps the rest of our resources available for the life critical. And it was a system that worked very well for us when this really kicked off. But even at that, we were completely outmatched for a long time. I would say that entire overnight, we had calls holding, and the fire department does not like holding calls. We don't like waiting until we have enough resources. So we activated the mutual aid box alarm system. It's called MABUS for short. And we requested help from anybody that could send from our surrounding counties. And every county responded. We had Racine, we had Waukesha, Washington, Ozaukee County, sent full complements on rigs, ready to go. Fire apparatus, ladder, you know, fire engines, ladder trucks, paramedic units, BLS ambulances. They just, it was incredible to see. And I can't thank those folks enough. But it was a real story about, like, cooperation and figure it out. And I just can't thank them enough. But what we were dealing with was a whole smorgasbord of different response types. All of the regular stuff that would normally happen on any given day, and I'd remind you that we are busier now than at any point in the fire department's history. All that stuff continues despite or with no regard for the fact that we're also experiencing a historic, you know, rainfall and flood. So yes. People still have heart attacks. People still crash their car. People still, you know, there's still people do things to each other. People fall downstairs. All those things still happen. People have, I don't want to say a regular house fire, but the day-to-day stuff still goes on. Now, on top of that, you're sitting on, you know, 12 different requests for water rescue. And then all of a sudden you're sitting on 25 requests for water rescue. And then on top of that, you're sitting on 55 calls for electrical trouble or 30 calls for water leaks. And I don't know if those are the exact numbers, but it's not far off. And if we don't methodically start weeding those out, it could really turn the whole system into turmoil. So we manage how we're going to deploy, and we access as many additional resources as we can, which does take time. They got to drive from here to there or there to here. They got to, you know, these other fire departments, we got to quickly learn each other's language, and fire service is really good at that. But we had between about 8 p.m. and 7 a.m. that first night, Saturday night, we had, I think it was a total of 614 individual calls that we responded to. And that is unheard of. That is
unheard
of. I don't know that we've had another point in our history. And I was a battalion chief out in the field during the 2010 floods. I thought those were horrific. And I was a firefighter for the ones a number of years before that where Pigsville went underwater down northeast of Amfan Field.
Yep.
And I was around for those things, and that seemed like, how could this happen? That's crazy. And there have been a ton of improvements made to infrastructure and bioswales and these huge bowls that they kind of construct in the middle of, I don't want to say the middle of nowhere, but, and I'm
yeah, like big open spaces. Yep. And the green spaces, the bioswales, tell people what those are. If you're driving around, I've had people ask me and I'm like, oh, that's a bioswale. Yeah. And then I start explaining, but you tell people what the bioswale is and why it's important for flood abatement and risk management.
Perfect. And I got to tell you, if you told me I'd be talking about bioswales, you know, 15 years ago, I'd have laughed at you.
What?
No, right. But it's a thing. And so this is what it is. It's instead of just having, say, a boulevard in the middle of, you know, the traffic lanes on a street, instead of just having flat grass, they build basically a bowl structure. And so it could be a rectangular bowl, an oval, a circle, you know, but it's essentially a large depression.
Yes.
And it just acts as a rain catch. And what it allows to happen is instead of all of, you know, and these can hold hundreds or thousands of gallons of water depending upon the size. Instead of having that all over the road and creating flooding, it can store it, and at the same time it's storing it, the water is able to get through the permeable soil and or gravel that's underneath that so that it can process into the subsurface without having to go and add to the overwhelming of the storm sewer system.
The sewer system. Really, like, and This is why the brilliance of the bioswales. We could do a whole thing on this, Chief.
For sure.
Because it allows, it basically is a filtration system. You have root growth. You have these small, again, like stones that it all filters through. It slows the water down. It has incredible capacity. It absorbs it, and it doesn't go into our deep tunnel sewer, which needs to hold the sewer water.
That's right.
It's hugely helpful. So folks, look around your neighborhoods. If you're driving around the city of Milwaukee, keep your eyeballs out for what will look like a beautiful little area of high grasses, perhaps cattails. Yeah. And that's part of those bioswales. Most of them are signed here in the city, but we've got them in my neighborhood. They're essential. With the time that we've got left, Chief Lipsky, and again, folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky with us. We're talking about the flooding over the weekend. What are things that families can do? Let's start with a single family home, and then I do want to talk about multi-unit and apartment living, because it's how you respond to this kind of stuff can be a little different. But let's just talk about a family in a house. All of a sudden, they can't drive out. Their street is flooded. They've got water coming into their house. What should people do?
So it's, you know, everybody has a different threshold for what overwhelms, right? And
yes.
And you know, as firefighters, what may overwhelm somebody, you know, a non-firefighter, those can be two different things, and that's all just based on experience, training, perhaps equipment and you know, the mechanisms to put it all into play. So I say that to say that even amongst civilians, there's different thresholds. And, you know, let's just take this as an example. We have a senior citizen who has mobility issues and lives alone, has no family nearby. And all of a sudden, now they're looking at water up on their front porch, and their basement is flooded to the top cinder block. That might be very, very different than a 32-year-old able-bodied, you know, construction worker who is adept at like putting into play things to get them fixed, pumped out. Like that doesn't has access to those things. So those two folks might have very different needs. But I want to just stress, perhaps they have the exact same needs, right? I'm not trying to make caricatures out of all these different characteristics whatsoever. But I just want to highlight that some folks are just going to need more help. And what I would encourage is, if you've reached your threshold and you think you are possibly in danger, call 911. And if we come out there, and I told you about our task force model for this circumstance, if we come out there and it's not that big of an emergency, well, then that's fine. Then you know what we do? We handle whatever we can handle. We communicate with you, reassure you if that might be what you need, and we move on. And so, I would encourage people, first and foremost, never be afraid to call 911. We now, in this stage, I want to just point out, we have 211 active, and 211 is going to allow for a much more comprehensive conversation about your specific resource needs. You need housing, you need food, you need, hey, can I go back in my house and get my medication? Hey, is there, who went in my house and put the fire out? You know, like if there's I don't even want to call them weird questions. They're just the reality of life after an emergency. There are more questions.
People trying to figure stuff out. Yeah, that's 211, right, Chief?
That's correct.
211. And I think, go ahead.
That goes right into the nerve center of the Emergency Operations Center that Milwaukee County has established, which all agencies, all municipalities, everybody who has any stake in being able to help with this is connected. So that's why it's so important to push those non-emergency calls to 211. But if anybody has any doubt and they think it's very time sensitive or they're at risk,
call 911.
Never hesitate. Call 911. Our feelings aren't hurt if it's not an emergency. We're happy if it's not.
Folks, I hope you join me in thanking everyone at MFD, and especially MFD's Chief Aaron Lipsky, for being with us this afternoon. We've got the head of Milwaukee County's Emergency Management Department. We'll talk about 211. We'll talk about how they continue the recovery after, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky, who joined us for the last segment. We've been talking about the incredible floods that the city and Milwaukee County, frankly, all across southeastern Wisconsin, experienced this past weekend. Very privileged to be joined now by Milwaukee County's Director of Emergency Management, Cassandra Liebel. Welcome to the show, Cassandra. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you, Maggie. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. We were talking about the chief about how MFD responds during these kinds of extraordinary weather disasters or weather emergencies. And he went through how they process calls, how they help dispatch, given that they're still getting what he would term, you know, the ordinary volume of emergency or 911 calls from across the city as well. When you and I were speaking before, you talked about emergency management in phases and some of the interjurisdictional cooperations, the operations center that gets set up to help with, again, the response and the recovery that comes after really that emergency phase. Tell us more about that, Cassandra, and what does the Milwaukee County Department of Emergency Management do following one of these acute weather events?
Absolutely. Thank you for that that question. I think what is important for people to understand that the Office of Emergency Management, much like our fire department and other public safety entities, are a continuous part of the operations of a community as a whole. So we continue to respond to the needs that we meet on a daily basis. So within our organization, we also oversee other responsibilities. So we're continuing to do that work. But in the, from the EM perspective, the emergency management perspective, we obviously communicate on the front end of an incident to try and understand what the threats are and anticipate in preparing for those. So messaging with our, you know, meteorologist and getting that information out, making sure that we're sharing that information across the community that, you know, tornado watches may be happening, storm watches are happening, flash flood. No one anticipated the extent of this event. We knew that there would be rain. We knew that the weather has been unpredictable, just building up in alignment with global warming across the country, the world. But this was a unique event in that there was a significant amount of rain that happened in a very short amount of time. And that causes any number of issues with the infrastructure that we have in place. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the infrastructure wasn't prepared for this, but I think our DPW partners in the city spoke of that it is almost impossible to have the capacity to move that amount of water in that amount of time through any urban area or agricultural area. So flooding happens because water happens in an area where it's not supposed to happen at a pace in a time when we're not equipped to deal with that. And I think that's what happened here. It's no anticipation of this kind of infrastructure would be in place because Milwaukee is not an area that is significantly prone to flooding, particularly to this level. So we wouldn't build an infrastructure to have that kind of a capacity. This is probably once in a generation type of storm that we're going to see. And I think that the resources that we had came to bear and they organized very well. You talked about the fire chief and the first responders, fire rescue, responding out and helping people on those 911 calls, getting people to safety, and primarily focusing on that life safety response. And I think our community has done significantly well with that in communication with our ME's office. We haven't had any reported deaths associated with this incident. And I think that is a testament to that our first responders and fire and safety professionals provided.
Absolutely. Just you broke up for a little moment there, but I wanted to repeat what I think I heard you saying, Director Liebel, and that is that we have a significant storm infrastructure here in the city of Milwaukee. In fact, we had our own version of a deep tunnel project that was done over 20 years ago. But any infrastructure that is designed to hold floodwaters is only workable so long as the total volume of floodwater does not exceed what that infrastructural system is designed to accommodate in a given period of time. Chief Lipsky explained that we not only had an incredible, an amount of rainfall in a period of time that is just unheard of, it then continued to rain. The storm system sat over us and continued to rain, further stressing the system. I wanted to talk to you. We've got just a little bit of time left, maybe about a minute and a half, Director. If you could address, again, what 211 is, and also people's understanding of what the role of FEMA might be in this sort of a disaster.
A lot of is calling 211 to do what we're calling a damage assessment. And a damage assessment kind of gives us a understanding of the extent of the damage that we've experienced as a community. And so the intent of that information is so that we can attempt to apply to the federal government to say, we have exceeded the resources that we have at a taxpayer level, at this municipal level, and we are looking for additional resources to rebuild and respond to this incident. And so 211 allows us to gauge that damage. But understanding that that's a long process. The damage assessment is going to take some time. It's going to be a while before we know the full extent of the damage simply because that to be reported out. Individually, people will not know the full extent of how much damage was caused in their basement until their HVACs can get out there, until their vehicles can be taken into the shop. So a lot of those things will have to come into play before we really get the full extent of the damage. But what FEMA is doing is trying to would come in and help us rebuild any damages that happen to roads and in infrastructure. But it is not a replacement for our insurance. So what I would encourage people to do is if you have insurance policies, even if you don't have flood insurance, because Milwaukee is not historically a flood area, that you still inquire about your homeowners or renters insurance to see if there is any way that that can be covered. We can still capture that as part of our FEMA reporting, but I don't want people to rely on that as a replacement for ability to make them
good insurance. Indeed.
Correct.
Director Liebel, thank you for taking time today. I know you and your team are out in the field, that it's been incredibly busy. Thank you. Please stay safe out there. Folks, that was Milwaukee County's Director of Emergency Management, Cassandra Liebel. When we come back on the other side, I want to hear from you. Has your home flooded? What's the damage like? What's your experience with floods here in the state of Wisconsin? We discuss next on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.